Jesus, Ray.
Oh. This is a practical impossibility.
What kind of a stupid idea is that?
It's ringing.
Ray, right. Love the show.
This is the Ray Foley Podcast.
Ireland, I'm so sorry. This is ridiculous.
Let's do a podcast. Hello there. Thanks for downloading. Ray's my name. There's Mike Powell. My old mucker. My old shagoshter. Sorry, what?
I said, how you doing?
Why did you sing it?
Because I felt like it. I felt more showbiz. I was thinking, what would Ryland do in a situation like that?
You always do. JP always does this. Every morning he gets out of bed, he goes, okay, what would Ryland do? Every single thing, every single scenario, every question, JP, every dilemma confronted, or even small decisions that JP has to make throughout his day, it's always prefaced in mentally, and sometimes audibly, with... what would Ryland do?
Yeah, I have a Ryland journal where I jot down ideas I think that Ryland would have, and then I try to enact them in my day.
That's fascinating. And is it a Ryland, like, is Ryland, is this officially trademarked, copyrighted Ryland merchandise?
Oh, no, I got a regular, just a regular notepad and I drew his face out. Oh,
so it's not a Ryland
No, but
journal.
I call it my Rhinal.
Your Rhinal. So it's your Ryland journal. Jesus, say that 10 times fast. Ryland Journal. Ryland Journal. Ryland Journal. Ryland Journal.
Not easy, guys.
It's not easy. Guys, this is good stuff.
JP, this is just the start.
We weren't even planning the Ryland Journal.
It could get even better or worse.
Have you ever stood next to Ryland at a urinal while reading your journal?
No, he's a very tall man, I believe. Very sleek and lean and svelte, isn't he?
Tell me this now. So tell me this. Genuinely, I'm not. This isn't all joking aside.
Right.
Your journal, your Ryland journal.
Yeah.
That is not Ryland merchandise. I presume he has a Ryland one day per page journal.
Possibly.
You say you drew, was it a picture you cut out from a Smash Hits magazine of Ryland that you put on the front of your journal? Or did you draw it? Did you say you drew it?
I traced it from the pages of Smash Hits.
Oh,
so
okay.
I got tracing paper and then
shows.
I traced it.
Shows it.
Yeah, here it is. What do you think? What do you think of that?
I was thinking it was very, like, it's a
like who did you think it was?
No, it's definitely Ryland. It's clearly Ryland.
Got the teeth.
Yeah, well,
facial hair.
You've written Ryland Clark, love heart journal over it. So it's pretty clear who it's supposed to be. But Mike, as I was saying, because you've left it on your desk before, I've spotted it before. Mm. I've thought that is a very good picture. That's a very good likeness. But now I know you've traced it.
I kind of cheated. Yeah, yeah.
It's important though. It's more for up here to be journaling. Jesus.
Look after your mental health, guys.
It's important for up here to be Rylaning and journaling.
Yeah.
Have you found that it has had a good impact on your mental health to be more Ryland?
Well, do you know what it is about Ryland? He's got bundles of confidence.
He's very confident, very enthusiastic. He's a joyous presence.
And sometimes I'm not that joyous presence, nor am I that confident. So I think everyone should be a little bit more Ryland.
What would Ryland do?
Exactly.
So what would Ryland do? What conclusion did you come to?
I concluded that Ryland would probably do all the things I'm afraid to do.
So, I mean specifically.
Right. Well, I did recently buy some tooth whitener.
No,
and
like,
Ryland would definitely do that.
But the singing.
Yeah, that's just incorporating a bit more of the Ryland showbiz, the pizzazz. Because he's got that in spades.
So the answer to what Ryland would do would be to sing,
showbiz.
Hello there.
Yeah, and then you go and shoot me down as
well,
I was mid-flow.
That is the thing. I am the Simon Cowell. I suppose, who would be the most negative in that realm? Whatever the most negative toxic force is, I'm that to the positive force that JP is.
Do you remember Natalia Kills?
No.
She was, you don't, right?
No.
She was on the Australian
And it was
version.
Never proven.
Yes, precisely.
In a court of law, it was never actually
proven. Funnily enough, it wasn't a verb. It was her surname.
It was only animals. It was only puppies.
She was one half of a related or married couple who were into music. Quite an indie alternative music, but she was on the judging panel of, I believe it was the Australian Idol.
Yeah, I remember the name, Natalia Kills.
And she absolutely roasted somebody on the show. So much so that I think she was then kicked off the show.
She
because
was cancelled.
She was cancelled before cancelling was, you know, a thing.
And was Cowell on that panel?
I don't think so, no.
That's an interesting one. You see, I think it's funny. We were talking to him last week, actually. You can go and check the podcast. But we were talking to him about his persona. And I think that it's a thing that he has cultivated and probably only he can get away with as the mean judge. because it's his thing. If someone else tried to create that persona now, it would be impossible.
Well, do you remember nasty Nigel Lithgow? He would get dog's abuse also from the public, whereas Simon Cowell, I feel like he never really, people recognise his meanness or straight-talking nature, and they, yeah, you're right, they give him a kind of a free pass.
Could it also be that he, this is the thing, I would have loved to have had more time with him, because I'd love to actually talk about the theatrics and the artifice and the sort of the made up, knowingly made up dynamics of all of it, but even Brand Simon specifically, that it's such a delicate balance, but I think he's so effective at it. I think Louis's pretty good at it too, actually. This sort of thing of, yeah, he's mean, he's an arse to these kids that are doing the thing or trying to make a name for themselves. But he does, he manages to be that horrible person in such a way with a glint of an eye, or he redeems himself sufficiently through every exchange that we all know he's only messing, really.
Well, in real life, if you've ever listened to any other interviews he's given or read any of the books that he's written, in real life, he's known to be a really, really nice guy. And he has spoken about it previously from his childhood. He's an acute sense of not being an asshole and actually being respectful to people.
When his whole brand is...
I think his dad said to him, you've got to recognize people and respect them. So now when he says this, when he goes into any room that he's into, whether it's a studio or a crowd of people, whatever, he will go around and shake everyone's hand and say, wow. Hey, what do you do? What is it you do? All right, okay, tell me about it. So my dad always said,
keep your head down, don't say anything to anyone, and then bitch about everyone behind their back.
Right.
And you know, it's stood to me,
You've taken the old man's word to heart.
Yeah. Yeah. No longer with us. He's at home in Mayo. My dad was in earlier on, but he's at home. But he's gone back
he's
home.
He's gone now.
Yeah, he's gone back to Ballina. He's gone. What are we doing today? Oh, it's the Gary Lineker thing last weekend. Is this thing still going on, by the way, this Euros business?
It is indeed, yeah.
Are England still Englanding in it?
England are still Englanding, but they're still in it and they have progressed to the next stage despite a lackluster couple of performances, right?
And Scotland are gone.
They're gone.
They've gone back to Scotland. Much like my dad gone back to Mayo, the Scottish people have gone back to Scotland.
Yes.
So this is Gary Lineker talking to Frank Lampard in the course of their commentary up in the you know, pitch side or up above the stadium. And they're doing their analysis. What was the game?
I can't remember.
Whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's not really about the game. But the thing is that the whole brand is they have a good time. They're all pals. They're all matey. They're all having a laugh and a joke. And it was a reference to the backs of people's heads. Have a listen. Here's it. By the way, there's been war over basically Frank Lampard, his face, that he looks upset or sort of offended by what Gary says. It's alluding to thinning hair, Frank's thinning hair at the back of his head. Have a listen.
I wish they'd take that screen down, then we'd see all the punters. But if they took the screen down, they wouldn't be able to watch the game, would they?
Back of our heads. They wouldn't turn up for that.
No, no one wants to see the back of your head these days, do they, Frank?
Not.
That's for sure. Germany, do you think they're stronger favourites than
perhaps we
thought?
I know, you can't see it, but
at
this bit, it looks like he's sort of crestfallen. You see, I've watched this a couple of times now, and I think... And I'll give you my insight. I've done a little bit of live television myself.
Wow, go. Cool. Do tell, Ray. Do tell. Come on. Enthrall us.
Genuinely, from the telly end of it, and by the way, it's not like I'm coming out from a, you know, these guys are multimillionaires. They know what they're doing. They're pros. But from my perspective of having been in a situation where you're live and the camera's on you, it looks to me like it didn't even register with him that he said the insult. He said what he said, and it might be true. It might be that he is balding a little bit at the back of the head. But to my read of it was he didn't fully clock what Gary had said, and he's actually thinking about the next thing, the next bit of analysis, the next line that he needs to deliver. But a lot of people and a lot of balding men have reacted and said, whoa, that's not on. You can't be talking like that to your pal. And Lampard does genuinely, if he heard it, it does look like he might be offended by it.
Well, he has. Frank Lampard has kind of what you would call a resting bitch face. No offense to anyone meant when I say that. But he kind of does. So even if he has registered it and is not offended, he sort of looks like he could be offended. I'm with you, though. I think he's moving on to the next thing, because he actually turns to one of the other panelists as Gary has moved on to the next question. And he's sort of checking out their faces to see, are they going to react? How are they reacting to Gary's question in terms of footballing matters? So I think he's moved on.
I think, and that happens a lot as well in that live scenario, because it's so elevated in terms of like, your adrenaline is pumping, it's live, it's you're on in 3-2, there's lights, there's so much going on, and you need to be, in his case anyway, not mine of it ever, but in his case, you need to be on, you need to be fully engaged, you need to know exactly what you're talking about and what you're talking about next. Whereas, so in that atmosphere, you don't actually hear everything. You don't hear particularly throwaway remarks like that. I wouldn't register them most of the time. I'm always generally thinking about, right, what's next? How much time have we got for this next bit? What am I expected to say? What's the out usually? Like, how's it ending? That I've a feeling he didn't. Let me call my, this is Richard from the Grow Club, Richard Spence. Growclub.ie is their website, and they do hair transplants. And I suppose it's interesting to talk about, because Lampard's in the situation where he's being confronted by his pals in a laughy, jokey way about a little bit of thinning back there. It's ringing.
Hello, Richard speaking.
Hello, Richard speaking. It's Ray Foley speaking here in Today FM. How are you, sir?
Ray, how are you?
I'm good. We were just talking about the Gary Lineker incident.
Yes.
Last weekend, the incident. Have you seen it? The Gary Lineker saying that did you watch it? Yeah,
I did. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, what did you think? Did you think that Gary was actually insulting? And do you think it landed? Do you think he got the joke?
Do you know, I think, because I was watching kind of what he said after, and kind of he explaining it. Look, I'm sure they're good mates. I'm sure it was probably made totally as a bit of messing.
Yeah.
But you could see for a second in Frank Lampard's face, I actually do think it suddenly took him off guard. And it probably did strike a little bit of a nerve, even if he can laugh it off with his friends, you know?
Yeah.
So, I think you probably can't underestimate how much it affects everyone, whether you're like Frank Lampard or, you know, Joe Soap on the street, you know, so I definitely think he struck a nerve there.
Yeah, that's the funny thing, isn't it? Because it's one of these things where it's in two zones. On the one hand, like you say, it's a you know, you can imagine it striking a chord, it being an emotional and a personal thing. And that is the thing that we have at home. That's the thing that we deal with in privately in our private lives, in our own heads, when we're in bed at night and we're going to sleep. But then it's also in the vein, the vanity realm as well, where one of the lads, i.e. Gary Lineker, might be inclined to go, come on, it's just joshing type thing.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably, that's kind of lad or guy culture. You know, we all take the piss out of each other. Everything's a bit of a laugh. But deep down, you don't know kind of how people feel about it. And I think with guys, especially, you know, we're not great about talking about feelings and, you know, things that are kind of affecting our confidence and stuff. I think it's only normal that it probably does. And I know from speaking to loads of guys and from being that soldier myself, how much it can kind of knock your confidence. And it only takes a comment from one of the lads on a pitch or whatever, so suddenly just like knocks you down, you know. So happening on TV probably doesn't happen to all of us all that often, but he's just a normal guy, you know. So it's interesting to see him kind of laugh it off, but you definitely felt he kind of it affected him a little bit.
There was a pang there. See, the thing is with Lampard as well is that, well, it's a similar situation to myself, right? Is that maybe he didn't even know that it's there.
Oof.
Mine occurred, or my hair loss, or what I became aware of, my thinning. I was completely oblivious to it thinning back there. No one said it. No one mentioned it. And I had a 2-year-old and a newborn, and we had just gotten an artificial lawn out the back garden, and we're
fittingly enough a wig for the back garden.
A wig for the back garden, and maybe I should have been exploring other options. And what happened was, my missus, she took a video of me playing with the kids, you know, wrestling, mucking about with the toddler and whatever. And as we're watching, she's you know, that night before bedtime, whatever, she's showing me the video from earlier in the day, and I'm like, hang on, whoa, hang on a sec, go back there a little bit.
Yeah,
and gleaming in the sunlight of the back garden, was just the suggestion. Now, it's not fully bald, but just the suggestion of, oh my word, that's properly thinning. And in this instance, like at the back crown, a lot of when would you ever look at the crown of your head? You never have the opportunity to notice or to check. So it's possible that Lampard didn't know.
Possibly, yeah, absolutely. Maybe not two people want to call him out because of who he is say it to him. But like, I think you're right. Like, a lot of guys mightn't, you know, it's not that often that you catch the back of your head. You're probably not being videoed all that often. But it's kind of like, you know, whether it's in a nightclub and there's mirrors everywhere, you suddenly catch it and you're like, oh, Jesus. Like, is that me? And it's really hard to see.
Yeah. Going back to, like I say, to my own experience, it was a shocker. And then I said it to my missus. I think I might have said it to JP. Mm. We're going back maybe, about 10 years now. I said it at the time to all of my mates. You know, those people that I would presume, my Gary Lineker, I suppose, someone that I can hope can be direct and straight with me and go, come here. But then I suppose, how do you initiate a conversation like that? Have you had clients that have had their friends go, look, just so you know, you might not be aware, but just back there, there's a little bit of thing going on.
Well, I don't know, like, it's funny because guys, like you say, they're not that open about it. No. And that's kind of one of the things that we're trying to do, which is kind of remove the taboo and make it a bit more open, like the way girls are. You know, girls are often and get all sorts of aesthetic treatments and happily kind of tell all their friends about it and walk into work the next day. But guys just aren't like that. But we're definitely seeing it kind of, we're seeing it change. I can see some guys who almost won't even come into the clinic for a consultation. They won't send pictures because they just can't bear to look at it. You know, and then you have others who, you know, who go back to the warehouse or to the office or whatever it is and they're happy to shout it from the rooftops and send some friends up to us. So you definitely have both. And I like to think it's changing.
Yeah.
That guys are being a little bit more open, but it's still, we're not there yet.
It's interesting that there is a mix because I suppose I don't know what your age range is broadly, Richard. Whereabouts are you?
To be honest, we wouldn't treat kind of young patients. Like, you know, we tend to kind of try and wait till they're almost in their 30s, you know, because ultimately this is something that's generally going to progress for a long time. So you don't want to treat it too early. So I'd say, you know, from 30 to, you know, mid 50s would be the average. But we've had guys in their 70s, in their 60s. So,
yeah,
you know, the older generation starting to care a little bit more, have some disposable income.
Well, that's
the general, probably 40s would be the mass majority.
Okay. For me, I'm saying I'm just observing the discussion about it, that even in the 10 years, like I say, since I noticed I was thinning, there used to be sort of a thing of, it'd be, I don't know, it's like liposuction or something, that the narrative around it would be, oh, yeah, such and such had the hair transplant or he had the hair done, but Jesus, don't bring it up or don't mention it, or he'd like you to, you know, he'd like you to not notice or something. I mean, just sort of generally, you know, 10 years ago anyway. Whereas I can totally see that it has changed, that there is the way people, it's almost like with a shrug now. Yeah, sure, I'm going to go off and get it done, or I'll get it done next year, or I'm in the middle of doing it, or I've been in touch with Girl Club and I'm in the middle of it. It seems that it has become more acceptable and less piss-takey and more, matter of fact, it's like getting braces or whatever.
Definitely is. I think I call it the Love Island generation because I'm kind of old now, but, you know, they definitely are more open to talking about everything to do with how they look with each other and to their fellow guy friends, you know, whereas maybe guys in their 40s and 50s, that didn't happen so much. I would say probably half of our patients are happy enough to talk about it publicly, to, you know, allow us to use photos or videos and so on, and the other half still kind of want to be private. So it is still quite 50-50, but I think that the younger generation is definitely changing it.
What's the privacy element of it, I wonder? Could it be, is it vanity? Is it like, I don't want to appear to be vain? I don't want to appear that it bothers me. What would that be, I wonder?
Yeah, I think you're probably right, because, I mean, I suppose the thing is, you know, after maybe a week of having the treatment done, bar a short haircut, people wouldn't know that you've actually had it done. And it's not like a drastic change where you come into next, it's not like getting a wig where you come in the next day and you suddenly have, you know, a massive head of hair. In fact, you know, often because it takes probably 12 months to fully come in, and it comes in over time, it's very gradual. And people don't notice until, you know, maybe they look back at a photo from a year ago and go, Jesus, what did you do? You know, you're looking younger, but it's not such a drastic change. You know, it kind of happens over time and people might notice. And because of that, maybe people feel they don't necessarily need to tell people.
Yeah.
you know, like if it was a change where you went back into work the next day and you suddenly had a massive head of hair, you'd be forced to do.
Yeah,
like
you need to reference it. Yeah, he's not getting away with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still, yeah, it's funny. I still think it's still just that guy thing, you know, just guys just want to not show that they're vulnerable, you know, because, you know, like I said before, it massively affects people, and maybe people think it's a sign of weakness. I don't know, but it's funny.
And just being strong or whatever, that's a sign that you don't even want to appear to care about it, even though you clearly do care about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I just shave it off. She'd be grand. But like, it's not that simple.
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge undertaking. I mean, emotionally, I can. We don't talk about our emotions, of course. Butch. But I can only imagine what it's like to make the decision. That it's like, I'm not getting away with this anymore. I'm going to have to go for it. And that decision is very final.
I agree. And I think, like, look, definitely, obviously, society is more open to guys having no hair than girls having no hair. But I do feel internally, you know, if a female was to lose her hair, the devastation it must cause inside. And yeah. I think for a guy, there's definitely, you know, whether they'd admit to it or not, it would feel somewhat similar. You know, obviously, guys take pride in how they look. And, you know, and I suppose our whole thing is about, I think personally, again, having been that soldier, like, it holds you back from taking opportunities or pushing forward or doing certain things, whether it's probably, you know, asking the girl out or taking the work opportunity, whatever, because of your confidence. And you might try and cover it up and disguise it or whatever, but then you go out to a nightclub or suddenly it's windy out and you're like, suddenly your cover is blown, you know, and suddenly you're back to the feeling of, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's just it's a simmering insecurity. The thing for me that was a big one, actually, is it's sort of, I don't know if most fellas are like this, but I know I can speak only for myself, and it's the feeling that I'm just keeping my head above water. In general, I just mean, like, I'm just surviving every day. What have I got tomorrow? I've got the show. I've got this meeting. I've got this. I've got that. We've got this thing this weekend. We've got a holiday in 2 months' time. And then bang, before you know, it's Christmas, child's birthday, anniversary, blah, blah, blah. You've got all these little things that just fill up your calendar and you're caught up in the day to day, right? And you still think of yourself at whatever age, everyone's got this thing to say, sure, I'm still 22. I'm still 23. I'm still whatever age it was that I, you know, that you froze yourself in.
Yeah.
And for me, that fright video on the back lawn of the ball patch coming in was a shocking reminder that, oh shit, you're not getting that time back. And this is it from now on. You're not that 25 anymore. This is not going to get any, it's not going to, you're not getting any younger and it's not going to get any better. And that was a real shocker for me.
Yeah, it's true. Actually, I think all guys definitely feel like you also feel like we're 20 years old inside, right? Mm. And to suddenly see, and you don't realize that we're aging. And when you look in the mirror, or, you know, you might you see the odd photo, but it's that shocker that, Jesus, I'm actually like touching like 50. Oh my God! Like, and it's like, yeah, your bubbles burst.
Yeah. And then there's the lack of control. We none of us have it, of that internal voice, that no matter how often you sort of, and for me, it was my weight as well, that, like, you know, you'd be looking in the mirror and you'd be going, oh, Jesus, just sort yourself out. And then you kind of go, oh, no, it's fine. I'm okay with it. But there is that little niggle of the internal voice that if it's something you can do to quash it or sort it out or get rid of it. Turkey, I was reading another article. Turkey seems to be coming up again and again, both in a positive and a negative. In the positive, like I say, it's that shrug element of, I sure will have to go to Turkey next year and get it done, the shrug or whatever. But equally then, I've read, and it seems to be like every week there's a different story, and you're talking tragic, horrific stories of a multitude of different surgeries that can be done. But hair is one of the things that people, and it was this one article that I read where there are places back here now, more established clinics and clinics in Ireland saying, no, we won't touch procedures that have been done or procedures that have gone wrong in Turkey because we can't stand over it or because there's nothing that can be done in these cases. Do you see many situations where it's gone wrong abroad and there's an expectation then, well, I'm back home, I'm closer to home, maybe you can sort it out or you can fix it for me?
Definitely. Well, first of all, I think you're right. Like, a lot of people are, it's kind of driven to Turkey because not by necessarily first choice, but generally because they've been priced out of the market in Ireland. You know, it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
Some of the traditional clinics in Ireland, you know, unless you have a spare 20 grand floating around, you know, you're not going to get a hair transplant. So not too many people have that money to spare. So they're kind of, that's their next, or was their next kind of best option really, was to jump on a plane. And unfortunately, like, obviously regulation differs from market to market. And, you know, I think there's about 1 million people go over to Turkey for various treatments. And like you say, some might be great and some not so great. But you're definitely taking a risk. You don't know who you're going to. And, you know, when they come back, I definitely don't feel it's ethical necessarily to say we're just going to penalise you because you made that choice. You know, people make bad choices all the time. I think if you just penalise them for it, it wouldn't be the best way to help them. Like, I'm sure if a doctor wasn't to help somebody who had a bit of a drink problem because they made some bad choices in the past, wouldn't be the best thing to do. So we personally will try to help everyone. I mean, that's kind of what why we set up, is to make it affordable and to try and offer this to as many people as we can at a price that can be afforded by most. But if we can't help them, we'll let them know. We'll be totally open and honest and give them all the information that they can. But we'll see everybody and try to help them. I definitely don't think it's a great thing to be able to just to say, literally, we're not going to try and help you because you made that decision in the past.
That's interesting, yeah. Because there's a kind of a way of, I suppose it happens with, I don't know, electricians as well. It's like, I went for the cheaper, or the plasterer, I went for the cheaper guy, and now we've got a problem or whatever. And then you've got a situation where it's like, oh no, I'm not going to go near you, or you should have called me in the first place. You're in Ireland, are you? It's worth checking. It's on your website. It says Dublin, Cardiff, and London. So you're in Dublin as well as other locations.
Yeah, Dublin's our first location. We have another one open and a third one opening in the UK.
What is it? This is, everyone has the kind of like, yeah, sure, I'll go and get it done. What exactly do you get done? When you're, by the way, I haven't had it. Well, I've been talking about my experience. I haven't had it done. I've still got the bald patch back there. And like that, I'm one of those people that it's like, at some stage, I'm sure I will. When it gets to the stage that it's, I suppose it's like we're in crisis mode. I'll get it done. But until then, I'm not. So it's definitely worth knowing what exactly is the procedure. What do you do?
So, well, on the day when you come in, essentially, but the bread and butter of it is you're moving hair from the back and sides of your head, because it's programmed not to fall out, to the areas where it has fallen out. And it's really kind of a dual approach, right? So you kind of think of it like a leaking bucket. So generally, our doctor would put a patient on medication to stop them losing hair from now going forward, and it will certainly strengthen up and thicken up some of the hairs that have started to kind of decrease in size and become thinner. So it definitely has a massive effect in the hair that you already have and stopping future loss. And then the transplant itself is really replacing the hair that isn't going to come back. So essentially you're moving that hair that's programmed not to fall out, like I say, from the back and sides of your hair, follicle by follicle, to the top of your head in a way that is kind of, you know, looks 100% natural and nobody would know that you've had it done. And again, that's kind of where it would differ to maybe some of the treatments you might get in Turkey with different clinics. Your hairline, there's a very natural and artistic way to do it so that it does look natural. And that's kind of where, you know, you might have heard of the Turkish hairline. It's kind of like...
Well, that straight line, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, and that's an art. And obviously our doctors are all fully qualified medics, registered with all of the various kind of... medical associations, and it's an art. You need to be doing it for a while, so that's kind of generally why we'd recommend that people would stay in Ireland. It's quite simple. It is quite a simple procedure. You're in like one day, in the morning. In the morning, they'll actually kind of extract the hairs. So you're kind of lying face down. A lot of people will fall asleep. And then in the afternoon, they'll implant them into the area where the hair is going. And generally, guys are sitting back watching Netflix, watching a movie.
Okay.
Have a chat with the guys, and they're gone home in the evening.
That's what I wanted to ask. Well, the two things I wanted to ask. When you're saying follicle by follicle, it sounds like it's slow enough going. They take them out one by one, and they put them back in one by one. So it's all day then?
It's the day, yeah.
Right, okay.
The morning is kind of extracting them, and in the afternoon, it's implanting them, essentially.
And would you be, when you're saying they're chatting, that's what the other thing. So you're not out cold, you're not unconscious then?
No, you're wide awake. Like I say, in the morning, guys generally fall asleep just purely because they're face down for the kind of extraction part. And they've kind of had some local anesthetic just to kind of make sure there's no pain. So they're quite chilled out. And then in the afternoon, after they've had a bit of lunch, they come back into the implantation and they're having a bit of crack with the team. They might watch a movie on Netflix and they're wide awake and they're gone home generally by 4 or 5 o'clock.
Okay. Next thing, you mentioned having been that soldier. Have you done the day? Have you, or what's your own experience been like?
Yeah, so I've had a couple, and this is kind of why I set this up, if I'm totally honest. Like, for the first one, I should never have been soldish. So the kind of ethics of it and you know, who you treat and who you shouldn't treat was kind of very close to my heart, because somebody saw me coming as a young, vulnerable guy in my early 20s, and they just took my money, and they should never have done so.
And you feel, looking back, you weren't bald enough, but they saw an opportunity, is it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I should have just been, if anything, put on medication and told to come back in your early 20s. You know, you're used to, you know, very thick hair in your teenage years, and you suddenly notice a bit of thinning, and you kind of go to talk to a few people. And I went to various clinics and they used lotions and potions, and I finally went for the transplant, and I should never have been sold it. And then I had another one since then. And again, I suppose the experience was so underwhelming when you're paying that much money. And I remember leaving on the day with a note or two on a folded piece of paper, and I never heard from them again. So I kind of just thought then, actually, it was during COVID, before COVID, I was considering another one. And I kind of looked in Ireland and I thought, my God, like, it's just too expensive. We can't afford it here. And then I obviously saw everyone going to Turkey because it was really cheap. And I just thought, you know what, there has to be a way to offer this in Ireland that's affordable to everybody, to stop people.
That's the difference between entrepreneurs and the rest of us feckin' idiots. We just keep Googling rather than set up the business.
So I just thought, you know, I don't want to take the risk of doing, like, you know, a 5-hour flight without having an operation the day before, the pain in the backside. So I just kind of thought, you know, that's not for me. So I kind of started looking into it. And the whole idea then really was to kind of, again, like I say, from being that guy, it's just to create something that is totally open and honest and informative, that's affordable, that's not taking the piss. Like, you know, obviously we're a business and you want to make money, but we just want to offer something at a fair price that makes it affordable to absolutely not, well, to anyone who wants it. Whereas at the moment in Ireland, it's absolutely not. Right. That's kind of where the idea came from.
Did you do a third one then?
That's why I set it up, and actually will be doing a third one after the summer.
Okay.
I like you, Ray, I'm tall. I've had the front done. I'm kind of happy with that. Over time, I realise I'm never going to be back to the 16-year-old hairline, but I'm happy with where I am. But the back, which I do catch in photos, or
this is the crown, the Lampard crown, I suppose, is it?
Yeah. So, like you, not too many people might see it because I'm tall, but I notice it, so I'll be getting that done after the summer.
Yeah, you're aware of it. That's a funny one. You see, we haven't talked about the lads. So no offence now here, JP. But
here we go.
Hey, JP's about to be triggered. But yeah, some people losing in different places. And my, like, I've been focusing, of course, because I love talking about myself, Richard. I've been talking about the back, but the others then lose it in other ways. JP has a full head of hair at the back, but it's an entirely other story at the front.
Richard, I've been called a 5-head for many a year, so what I may need a top up at some point around the
Lineker
temples.
I'm the Lineker of the Lampard Lineker dynamic. Richard, thanks so much for taking the call. Growclub.ie is your website. Do you know what? The more of these sorts of conversations about what does it involve, and the shrug, like I say, sure, I'm going to get it done. Yeah, the more that we can be talking about it, the less horror stories we'll be hearing about, and the more open and honest we can be about it, the easier it is to talk. Richard, thanks for taking the call. Have a good day, man.
Thanks so much, guys. See you later.
Much obliged. Bye. Bye, 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 bye. Bye-bye. All right, that's us done and dusted for your Saturday. We're back on the radio on Monday. Todayfm.com. You can get us on the app, on the Todayfm app. You can listen back to every broadcast, should you choose to do so. There's music in that as well, actually. They play some good songs.
Right, on the radio.
Yeah, there's songs on the radio. You can get that on the list.
Are they songs from the 1950s or something?
Oh, no,
it's
no,
an
no,
old
but,
medium.
They're pretty hot contemporary tunes.
Oh.
Yeah, most of them are country songs, in fairness, but they're pretty good. Like, you should give it a shot.
Maybe I will.
Listen back to the show, and of course, we're on the radio on the FM, 100 to 102 on Today FM between 2 and 4:30. Email jp@todayfm.com. I'm on the gram @RayFoley Insta. I will talk to you Monday from 2.
This is a practical impossibility. It's ringing.
Ray,
what?
Love the show.
This is the Ray Foley Podcast.